Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Do you ever hear the saying that sometimes we can be our own worst enemy? Well, the more I think about that, the more there is so much truth to that, because there's so many times that we do things that really just end up hurting ourselves. We can talk so much about what other people do to us, other people say, how people out situations outside of our control, how it can negatively affect us. And it's true. There's a truth to the fact that there are so many aspects of our lives that are not within our control as far as situations that happen, things other people say. And yes, it's within our control of how are we going to choose to think about it and respond to it. But putting all that aside, and that does oftentimes, those are the situations that we have to struggle with and deal with. Sometimes there's situations that have nothing to do with anybody else. It's just me facing myself. And there's times where I can feel like I'm doing things that are really almost what we call self-sabotaging. I'll say I really want to be happy and I want to feel good, and yet I'll do things that don't make me feel that good. I'll put myself in situations that aren't really all that great. I'll say I want to meet a really great guy who has quality and values and, you know, is really caring about me as a person. But then maybe I could be looking for him in places where guys like that don't frequent. So there's so many times where we put ourselves in situations, we'll say we want something. I'll say I want to feel healthy and I want to feel good, and yet I keep eating junk and I don't bother exercising. And it's nobody else except for me who's doing it to myself. So the question is, why is it that sometimes we end up being the ones that hurt ourselves? We say we want something. We might even have clarity that I have a vision of how I'd like my life to be. I have a vision of how I'd like to feel. I have a vision of the kind of relationship I want to have. And yes, not saying that especially in relationships, there's an aspect from the other person, but so many times we can maybe blame somebody else. But if we'd really look at ourselves, we ourselves are the ones who are not allowing ourselves to enjoy our lives, to feel good, to have that kind of relationship. So the question is, why do we self-sabotage? Why is it that sometimes we can be our own worst enemy? And if we can understand what is this mechanism that's within us that sometimes stops us from really enjoying the life we can have, really stops us from becoming the better version of myself, in small ways and in big ways, as it can happen in both, from day to day to different times in my life where I've done this to myself. I think if we really can get a better understanding of some of these mechanisms within ourselves, not something necessarily outside of myself, but within, that stop my growth, stop my potential, I think we can end up moving past it, growing greater, and really becoming more of who we want to be and have more of the kind of life that we'd like to have. So when you return, this is exactly what I want to ask the rabbi about. How can we better understand ourselves, the enemy within, so that instead of having this enemy within, we can be the friend to ourselves that will help us grow to our greatest potential? When we return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel with Rabbi David Aaron. Rabbi Aaron, for the past few nights, I've been going to bed way too late, and I'm tired in the morning, and I know this is not a good idea. In fact, every night I say I should go to sleep earlier because I won't feel good when I wake up in the morning, and I'll have a harder time functioning, and I keep on going to bed late. And I've been thinking about the fact that sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. Right, I know this isn't good for me, and this is obviously within the scheme of life one of the more benign ways of our becoming working against ourselves instead of ourselves helping ourselves. But again, it's an example of no one's doing this to me. I'm doing it to myself. I have clarity in my head that this is not a good idea. It will negatively affect me and my day. It will be harder for me to enjoy and have more energy for my day. And yet I've already done this a few nights in a row. This is not the first time either. And this can carry on in bigger ways too. Like I'm thinking there's times, let's say, especially as a therapist in a marriage, how many times that, yes, sometimes there are situations where a person's not even aware of how what they're doing is negatively affecting the relationship. But you can hear a person might say, I really want to have a good marriage. And they'll know that something that they're doing is bothersome to their spouse. And it really aggravates their spouse, and that keep doing it over and over again. So again, sometimes we sabotage things that we ourselves might be even aware of and say, this is not good. And yet we keep engaging in these behaviors. And obviously it can also be at that level of there's times where we're not even conscious. It's more in the subconscious. We'll say we want something in life. And yet for someone who can objectively see the way we're living our lives, we're doing everything against what we say we really want. So how do we work through this idea that sometimes we can be our own worst enemy, that we self-sabotage ourselves for what we really want? And how can we learn, I guess I'd say, to be our own a friend to ourselves, to encourage ourselves, to help ourselves make those choices that will really help us get to the places we want to be?
Well, you know, I'm glad you're asking me this question, because actually I came to a realization regarding this very issue recently, and it'll give me an opportunity to kind of share it. So I'm excited about that. I want to share something very a very deep idea about who we really are, which will help us understand why we actually do this. So imagine you are up. I know that sounds very abstract, but let's personify up. And up doesn't like down, you know, and does everything it can, or he or she can, to get away from down, because down is just the absolute opposite. Everything, a down stands for everything other than what up is about. So up really doesn't want to have anything to do with down. And the truth is that down has mutual feelings against up, and down wants to do everything it can to get away from up. But really, when you realize deep down inside, there's no such thing as up without down. Down, which is the very opposite of up, is actually an inherent part of up's definition. And that means that within up, there's down. And within down, there's up. This is actually brilliantly demonstrated in the famous yin-yang symbol. In the yin-yang symbol, for those of you who might be familiar with it, it's these like two kind of fish-looking forms that kind of flow from each other. You've got a white kind of looking fish with a black eye, and you've got this black looking fish with a white eye, and they kind of flow out of each other. And really the deep teaching there is how opposites really emanate from each other, and that really although they are opposite, they are actually one, and they need each other. It's like heads wanting to get away from tails and realizing that, hey, we're part of one coin, and a coin has both heads and tails. Well, so the reason why I share this is because what this really means about ourselves is that within every one of us is the opposite of us. In other words, just like in up, there's not up, and a part of up is not up, a part of up is down, so too, each and every one of us, an inherent part of who we are is who we're not. And that's an amazing thing. Meaning within us is a who we're not energy. And that is referred to as the Yetzirah, the inclination for evil. But in the Zohar and the Kabbalah, it's referred to as the Sitra Acher, which literally means the other side. Meaning there's always going to be within each and every one of us a little bit of the other side. And that other side seems to be our enemy, when actually it's our greatest friend. Because by having that which is not me within me is what's enabling me to be me. It sounds kind of crazy, right? But within each and every one of us is, I call, the not me, or the anti-self. And that not me is what enables me to be me. Just like having black, having down in my life is what makes up up. Now, but the secret here is to know that the not me side of me is there for me to say, no, that's not me, right? So the not me side of me is trying to get me to be, you know, other than myself. And unless I had a challenge to be other than myself, I would never really have the opportunity to truly realize, actualize, and affirm my true self. And so therefore, this is literally the dynamics of everybody. Within each of us is a non-me, a other than me, an opposite of me. And that opposite of me is challenging me to be not myself. And I have to realize that not myself is, in fact, a part of myself, but it's the part of myself that I have to say no to. And so when we do these self-sabotage things, it's because we're creating an opportunity to really self-affirm ourselves. We're just going about it wrong. But if I never had the opportunity to be not myself, when would I have an opportunity to really demonstrate my true self? It's like we talked about love. You know, unconditional love needs conditions that are against our love. Because if the conditions were completely in favor of our love, when would we ever experience the power of love that can transcend conflict and harsh or negative conditions, and still we will show love? Same thing. When are you really able to truly love yourself and be yourself? When you are being challenged in that very area. And that challenge to being ourselves is really what enables us to be ourselves. That's why in Kabbalah, what we're going to realize is this inner foe, this inner opponent, this part of ourselves that's trying to get us to be not ourselves, is precisely helping us be ourselves when we say no to it. But it's there to be said no to. Did this make any sense?
Yes, but it's such a revolutionary way, I think, of understanding ourselves that I'm still trying to process it. Because one of the first things I keep thinking of is, I think I usually think there's the things outside of me, and I have to make choices of what do I want to say yes to, what do I want to say no to. Meaning like things outside of myself. There's things in my environment, there's situations. It's like I sort of choose what do I take in. And I'm not saying we always make the right choices of saying no to the things that are better for us not to have in our lives. But this is a whole new understanding where it's not just outside things we have to make the decision of what to say yes and no to, but even within myself, I have to understand what do I say yes to and what do I say no to? What is really
That's
being
right.
true to
there's,
me?
Because there's this anti-self voice in me. There's a not me that's saying, you know, it's like a little bit of black is in white, just like that yin-yang symbol. There's this white dot, or there's a black dot in the white, and it's the black in my life that enables me to be white by being not black. So I need something that's challenging me that I say to it, you know what? That is not me. And that gives me the opportunity to really realize and affirm the real me. And so within us is this little voice that is trying to get us to not be ourselves, because our real self is kind and our real self is loving. And a real self is compassionate, right? But you'd never be able to really affirm that if there wasn't this challenge to that. There wasn't a kind of a contrast to that. And so it's that black inside white that's enabling white to be white when white says, hey, I'm not black. But it's so confusing because, hey, this is a voice inside me. It's telling me to do this. It's telling me to do that. And I have to laugh and say, and that's actually, in Kabbalah, the Yetzirah, the evil incarnation, is referred to as a joker. And why is he a joker? Because he's really making fun of me. He's coming across like he's against me, when actually the joke is that he's really totally there for me. It's like, imagine, you know, you're learning how to box. I don't like boxing, but imagine you're learning how to box or fence or anyway. I don't like these kind of sports that are, but anyways, and you don't realize that this guy that's fighting you is actually your coach. You know, the guy that's, you know, he's there to build you, to enable you. And if you didn't have something to fight against, you wouldn't have the opportunity to really build your true self. And therefore, I think people need to understand that this is the nature of our identity, that within our true self is a not me. And the not me part of me is what I have to learn to say no to. And then it turns into my friend. That's why, you know, there's a teaching that Friday night we have these angels that come to Friday night dinner, and we sing Shalom Aleichem Malachei Sharet. You know, welcome angels, ministering angels of peace. Who are these angels? One understanding is these angels is the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, the good inclination and the inclination towards evil. And they're showing up on Shabbat, and they're called ministering angels, meaning they both work for God, and they're angels of peace. Because in Shabbat, I have the perspective to realize that that not me within me is not against me, but is actually there to enable me to be more myself.
And it's so powerful that this is a once a week that we have this extra boost of a reminder that we really need to work on being true to who we are, truly. When we return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
Hi, everyone. This is Andrea Simintow from Jerusalem, inviting you to drop everything and join me on my show, Pull Up a Chair. We'll visit this week's quirky stories, meet fabulous guests, and discover my Israel. Together, we'll laugh, shout, and explain the topics that make us say, hey, we've got to talk about that. So get comfortable and pull up a chair with me, Andrea Simintow, every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Soul Talk, Leora Mandel, talking to Rabbi David Aaron. I'm really trying to understand, and it's really, I'm still trying to process everything you're sharing here, about why we self-sabotage ourselves. We say we want certain good things, but there's oftentimes we do things that actually go against what it is that we want and what can really lead to our growth and goodness. And as Rabbi, as you've been explaining, and I hope I understand this, I'm still trying to clarify it within my own mind, that what seems sometimes as it's working against us is actually a part of us too, and it's there for us to, so to speak, say no to. Because if there was nothing going against us, then any choice we're making for the positive and for the good, it really wouldn't mean so much. So it's a part of us, but it's like the anti-self that we have to choose to make the better choice within that.
You know, and it's not just the better choice. It's literally the way you affirm who you really are. Mm. And that's a strange thing, that there's a little bit of not you inside you, which is enabling you to be you when you say no to it. And so don't be surprised that you've, you know, like, how, what am I, schizophrenic? How is it possible that I say I want to go on a diet and there's this little voice inside me say, but go for that little chocolate cake. It's just one time, one time. That's an opportunity for me to really affirm no. I really want to go on a diet, and thank you for the challenge, because that enabled me to affirm what I really want and who I am and how I perceive myself. And I think people don't appreciate that the challenge that we're in, this inner challenge, this inner conflict, is actually a healthy and normal dynamic when I understand that it's there to say no to. You know,
so
it's
my
about
question
learning
is,
to say no, which is a really powerful way of saying yes to my true self.
So the goal is for us to say no. But my question is, what happens when we keep saying yes? If we keep saying yes, it's almost like building something inside of us that isn't really who I am and letting that grow. And there's many times, sometimes it's in specific areas that instead of saying no, we do keep saying yes. So what happens to us when we do that?
Well, I think because we don't have the self-awareness that I'm sharing here to understand that this is normal. You know, we kind of say, well, if I feel like doing that, then I have to honor my feelings, you know, because I got to be true to myself. I mean, how is it possible that within me, coming from deep within me, could be something against me? You know, and so I think this is where the confusion is. We kind of go with our flow and our feelings and what feels good, and then we say, well, I just sabotage myself, because inside me I have this little inner guy that tries to sabotage me. You know, this was me a shock when I began my journey back to Judaism. One of the first ideas that someone shared with me was the concept of the Yetzer Hara, that I have within myself a spirit that goes against me. And I thought, that's ridiculous. And once they pointed it out to me, it was shocking. It was actually one of the most powerful reasons I continued my journey in Judaism, because it was like, whoa, that is so true, that I do have within me a spirit that is working against me. But rather than just saying, oh my gosh, I'm crazy. It's no, the spirit working against me in the deeper, deeper sense is not working against me at all. It's just what enables me to have kind of contrast. If I didn't have a little down in my life, I couldn't really let my true colors as up really shine. And so I think when we, first of all, expect it, like, and not allow ourselves to be surprised by it, which is that, you know, that I should expect that I am going to try and sabotage myself, because there's a part of me that is the other side, the Sitra Achir, that precisely the way it gets me to affirm myself is by putting me through that challenge. Mm-hmm. And I'm intentionally creating inner challenge, which is what's causing a lot of possibility for energy. It's like a plane. A plane only starts to elevate because the wind that it's going against is pushing it up. And so I need to understand that that spirit that seems to be against me in the deepest, deepest sense is really not against me. If I embrace the challenge and realize it's all for me to step up my affirmations and my assertions of self. And so when I heard this idea, the Yetzer Hara, that I've got this like inner opponent, this inner foe, I've got the spirit inside me that tries to get me not to be me, I said, that's crazy. And what's even more crazy is the part of me that's not me sounds just like me. And it seems so convincing that I really want to have that chocolate cake, even though I just said I need to lose weight. And the first thing is, don't let yourself be surprised, because if you expect the challenge and realize that you think the challenge will come from outside, no, there's this inner challenge that is always going on. And if I see it as an opportunity, right, and I understand the joke here, that it's there for me to say no, which is enabling me to say yes to my essential self. Hmm. I think that helps us get a little more handle on it.
Definitely. You know, it also adds a whole new dimension to understanding. So many times in relationships, we'll want to say, if only that other person would change. And we always say, well, you can't change anybody else. We have to change ourselves, right? Look within the dynamics of any relationship. If I make certain changes, that will also have an effect on the relationship. But everything that you're explaining here really gives a whole new understanding, even to the idea of we can only change ourselves. We can't change anybody else. And because even within ourselves, we're not even connected to other people. Meaning there's, as I was saying before, there's the things outside of us. But if we recognize, as you're explaining, that within us is where the greatest potential for the choices that we make having an effect on what kind of life we're going to live, who we're going to be, and focusing that energy once we have that recognition on realizing every single day throughout the day we have these challenges, and the question is, what am I going to choose? And then the part that wants to pull me away from who I really could be is really just to give me an opportunity to become who I really need to become. I just have to make that choice.
Yeah. And I really believe that consciousness, self-awareness, the more we understand our inner dynamics and we expect there to be an inner challenge and an inner conflict, and understand that that is actually healthy and natural, and that that spirit within me that's against me is really an opportunity for me to say yes to who I really am. But the easy thing that people say is, well, this is just me. You know, because they feel within them. It's like up saying, well, look at this is just me. Black is a part of me. Yeah, it's a part of you, because it gives contrast to you to be up. So be up and say no to down, and realize that you're happy that down is in your life, because otherwise you'd have no spirit to say no to really affirm your identity is up. And so I really think that it's too easy for people to say, well, how can not me be a part of me? It must be me. You know, I must be, this is who I am. This is just who I am. I'm lazy. It's just who I am. No, you're not lazy. You have a lazy streak within you, because that laziness in you is actually giving contrast to the vitality that's in you. And when you say no to the laziness, you are actually revving up the manifestation of yourself as a very determined person. And so, but no, I'm lazy, I'm this, I'm that, and all this self-negative talk. And the truth is, you're right, a little bit of that is in you. But that's that. It has to be that way. You know, it has to be that way.
But the idea that you talk about expectation is huge, because I think that oftentimes, especially in today's society, we sort of get this message of expecting that everything, having the expectation that there is going to be struggle and there is going to be challenge. And so when it comes, it's, well, this is how life is supposed to be. I think that makes a huge difference. I think I once heard a study that when they do all these happiness ratings throughout the world to see which society seemed to have higher happiness levels. I'm not exactly sure how they rate it, but still, that they noticed even in America, the level of happiness of people in general was actually significantly higher than it has been more recently. And you'd think that during that time, the happiness level should have been lower because life was really tough. And there's different, you know, with any facts, you can always give different theories. But I heard a theory that I thought was very interesting. And I think the thought was that during the Depression, people were expecting life to be tough. And so when it was tough and they were struggling, that's how they expected it to be. And so therefore, when it went well, they were elated. Whereas now we're in this opposite level of expectation where I think we sort of are made to feel in general that life should go smoothly. Everything should be relatively easy and everything should be wonderful and good. And we sort of live almost in these Hollywood movies where there's this happily ever after. And so we're not really prepared for recognizing that reality and realistically expecting there's going to be a lot of struggle, not only without, but within. And that possibly might be even a possible explanation for why there's been such a skyrocket in depression and those internal struggles. I'm not saying 100%. There's definitely a chemical aspect to it for many people. But there, I think, is also a huge percentage of this aspect, especially, again, something like depression that's so inside of us. It's not only situational. It's because if we can recognize and expect there to be a struggle, know that it's normal, and recognize we also have the power and tools, as you're saying here, if we can recognize that this is here for me to make a choice where I can be in a better place. That's very empowering.
Yeah, and I think it goes back to what you just said. You know, I think people identify, well, if it flows naturally and effortlessly, then that's a sign that it's healthy and it's right and it's good. So I got to go with my flow. But Judaism is saying, no, the dynamics of a healthy person is that there is some of an inner struggle, because the dialogue between the me side of me and the not me side of me is a struggle that enables me to really be a powerful person and to really, really, you know, be my true self by having some contrast to that.
Hmm. And again, as you were saying, that as much as there's a part of us that sometimes doesn't like tension, it's actually the tension that enables us to keep moving. It enables us to flow, but it's up to us what direction we take things in. If we make the choice for the higher self, then we will go up. And if we give into the lower self-sabotaging self, we will go down. But the choice is up to us which direction we take it in. The tension in of itself, though, enables us to flow. When we return, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Shalom from the heartland of Israel. This is David Ha'ivri. Join me every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 o'clock Eastern, for A Hebrew in the Heartland on Israel News Talk Radio. Hear the news and views from the heartland of Israel every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time. Be there.
Welcome back to Soul Talk. This is Leora Mandel. Really getting a revolutionary understanding of our internal makeup. Really, I mean, I think there's such an understanding that the study of psychology is so important as far as our understanding who we are. But what you're sharing here, Rabbi, is, I think, so revolutionary in really understanding from a spiritual and psychological sense of how we work and how we can most maximize with this understanding, how we can maximize our potential once we understand ourselves better. And something before that you were talking about, like, you know, a person who tends to be lazy and they can start defining themselves as lazy. And we have to be careful not to fall into a definition of self, instead saying there's a lazy streak, but I have to choose now what I'm going to do with that. I think with this understanding that you're sharing with us, there's so much redefinition of who we are or who we've been telling ourselves that we are, who other people have told ourselves that we are, that some of this sort of self-sabotaging also comes in from we keep giving and feeding into that anti-self that really we're supposed to say no to be able to move forward, but we keep feeding into it because we've already told ourselves, well, this is just who I am. Or someone's told us, this is just who you are. And so we keep feeding it and it grows, even though that's actually not really who we're supposed to be.
Well, you know, there's an amazing teaching that your Yetzer Hara, that not you side of you, is showing you what you really can be, the other of that. In other words, what you're most challenged in is actually an indication of what you are most talented and capable of doing. That's why the challenge is there. If you weren't capable of doing it, then there wouldn't be a challenge to that. And so, you know, so it's just the opposite. It's like, well, you know, I'm a lazy guy, so I have a real strong lazy side to myself. If you have a really strong lazy side to yourself, that itself is a proof that you can be, or actually, in essence, you actually are a very determined, vital, energetic person. And that's why you've got that laziness, because the laziness is that if laziness is the not you part of you, then the real you part of it is really a vital, very vital, determined, energetic person. And so it just turns it all around where people are kind of saying, just embrace your weaknesses and just accept that. Again, we're talking about weaknesses relating to being in service of doing good. There's certain weaknesses that Judaism doesn't consider that a weakness. You know, if a person, you know, doesn't have to be incredibly talkative, that's not a weakness. It's just who you are, and just accept that. You know, so you're not so talkative, fine. But we're talking about in the area of moral and spiritual excellence.
You know, it's so interesting. There's a public figure that I've heard say before that naturally they're very lazy, but they're so productive. And I was thinking, they've written so much and they have so many lectures and speeches and they're just so busy, involved in so many different things. And I remember thinking, like, how could you say you're lazy? You're so busy. But the person adds, they said, that's why I make a lot of commitments, because naturally, if I didn't have a sense of commitment, I wouldn't have, you know, I wouldn't write, but I have deadlines and I am committed to speak. So I have to come up with material and to give classes. And now you're really actually explaining what he's talking about, because I think what he's sort of letting people know is sometimes you just, and I said he's so honest about himself, but I think it's so helpful sometimes when people can be honest, because you might look at a person and say, wow, this person is so productive. I'm naturally lazy. I could never be like them. I just don't have it within me. And they naturally are just, they have energy and they're so busy doing so many things. And what I think he was sharing, but you're explaining it further of really understanding what it is saying that trait of ours that might seem like it can be a negative thing, and he's saying he's naturally lazy, but I didn't really understand what he meant because he's so productive, but he's learned how to channel that to being, now he's super productive, but he recognizes there's an aspect of himself, maybe this isn't natural, but I figure out, how do I channel it? I make a lot of commitments that I have to stick to, and I don't have time to be lazy anymore.
Well, I don't remember if I brought this up in the previous discussion we had, but I thought of a metaphor. Imagine a person born in a gym, you know, in a gym, and they don't know that this is a gym. This is just the world they were born in. And they see that everybody in the world that they're in is constantly putting these heavy weights on him, telling him to lift heavy things. And he doesn't understand why. Like, what a horrible world I am in, where my life is all about constantly. And once I lift something heavy, then they just give me something even heavier to lift. And I never seem to get anywhere, because this is just a world that's putting all these heavy things on me and telling me to lift them. And then someone says to you, well, you know, you're in a gym and you're here to build muscle and to be strong. And suddenly you love where you are and you realize that what seemed to be against you and a pain and a burden was actually an opportunity. And that precisely what was against you was really for you. That is the world we're in. And since people don't know why we're here, they get confused and they think we are here to relax. We didn't come here to relax, because you don't build muscles relaxing.
Your analogy is so powerful, because I feel like that's what this show is about, right? For many of us, before the show and before hearing the explanation you're giving to really understand ourselves further, it just can feel like we keep on self-sabotaging ourselves, and we can try to learn techniques of how to change that. But what you're doing here is really explaining. It's sort of like an analogy. Your person's in the gym, and all it is, it seems like everyone's like sweating and working so hard, and you feel like you could be in, you know, a slave labor camp. But then when you get that understanding of, no, the whole point is for you to go against the challenge and you're going to build muscle. Well, now we can recognize, yes, within us, there's these challenges, but that's the whole point. If there's no challenge, there's nothing for us to try to overcome. We can't build ourselves up unless there's some sort of challenge that we're facing and we have a choice to make.
Well, you know, that's what electricity is. Electricity is friction. That's what is creating the electricity, is the friction. And so, too, within us is a natural mechanism of friction, whereby the not me part of me is going against and rubbing against the me part of me. And that's my opportunity to say no and say yes to my true self.
So if I really want, it's interesting too, because on the one hand, if I really want to become my true self, I have to say no to the part of me that's going against me, that friction part. And every time I say yes to who I really want to be by saying no to that other side of me, I become more of who I can be. But on the other hand, I don't want to dismiss at all that other side, because as you're saying, I really can learn a lot about myself, in certain ways even more about myself, by that anti-self.
Right. That's the interesting about it. It's like, imagine up saying, I don't want down in my life. I wish down would just disappear. And up would disappear with it, because up cannot be up without down. And so, too, the not me in my life is what is enabling me to be me. And I just should know that and appreciate that and use it to grow rather than let it, you know, confuse me.
Because growth is what we're here for. And as you said, you know, I think it's true that depending on the perspective of what we have, of why are we here in this world? Are we here for life to be easy, or are we here to make a change, make a difference, to grow? And I think it's true, like, to be put in this world and, so to speak, leave the way we came. Well, you know, and I think about it. There are some people, and there is this whole concept of tikkun, and we don't even necessarily know why different people are here in different capacities. But there are times where a soul does come onto the world, and it's put into a body with a very limited capacity. They really, really can't do too much. And as much as in a certain way life can be very simple that way, there's nothing you really have to do because you physically cannot do anything, I don't think anybody would choose that for themselves. So it's very interesting that on the one hand, there's an aspect of us that will say, oh, I just want an easy life. I don't want to have to do anything. Why'd I have to work so hard? On the other hand, I don't think anyone would choose to be in a situation where they were so, you know, physically limited and mentally and emotionally limited that they really, no one expected much of them, because there's not that much they can do. I think there's an internal part of us that, even though we'll say we want it to be easy, knows that we are here to work.
Well, that's like, you know, imagine you're, you know, you play, you know, pro soccer or football. And you get on the field and you see that the other team are 5-year olds. Well, you don't want to play. Well, why don't you want to play? You're going to win. Isn't it all about winning? And it's not. That's the interesting thing. We want to win, but we want to win a game against a team that I have a real chance of losing to. And when I have a real chance of losing to a team and I win, then I really feel like a winner. When I get on the field and I see this team is just a blowover, I mean, it's like, no, there's nothing to talk about. There's no match here. And so we need to understand that in our own lives, this is the dynamic, and we're actually embracing and we're even inviting challenge. And we don't realize that we're doing this to ourselves. We're inviting the challenge. We are seeking, a match that is really worth struggling against, because that's how we really grow and affirm our power.
And that analogy of the game really is so powerful, because it's true. I think as much as, again, there's different levels of ourselves where there's a part of me that would say, I want it easy. But we can understand with that analogy of the game too, that no one really wants it easy because there's no satisfaction in that. But that would also then make me realize, just like, you know, there has to be some, if there really is a challenge of playing the game, then the satisfaction of having won is all the greater. But then within ourselves too, there's different levels of struggle that we have within ourselves. Some things are sort of like, it's not a good idea, and I can very easily overcome the anti-self. There's other struggles that it's so hard for me to make the choice to do you know, go to my higher self, to say no to that anti-self. But that's also a sign to me, the greater the struggle, the greater the challenge, then the greater the growth. And it's sort of, again, like winning that game. There's much more satisfaction in something that was a much harder struggle than something that really was easy. It wasn't that difficult.
Well, you know, it's hard to convince people of that.
It's true.
People
in the analogy,
want the
it's
easy
way,
to
understand, but
and they're hoping that, you know, for some reason we've somehow convinced ourselves that we came to this world to be comfortable. But comfort does not generate growth. And to really, really express and actualize ourselves, it's really within the context of having these challenges. And I do believe that in a funny way, we invite them, we seek them, we cause them to ourselves, and then we start blaming everybody and complaining about all how difficult it all is when it's really how we're going to grow and be our greater self.
Well, now, Rabbi, I do have to say, with this understanding, and I have to really think about it and integrate it, it really is life-changing in the whole approach that we have towards our life and our whole understanding of ourselves, recognizing that what seems like a challenge really is the biggest opportunity for me to become a greater self. I want to thank you for joining us, Soul Talk, Rabbi David Aaron and Leora Mandel.
This is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Torres from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
If you're hearing this message, everyone else can too. Advertise with Israel News Talk Radio and get your message out to people. We'll build a personalized package for you. Contact advertising at israelnewstalkradio.com.
Straight talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.